I turned on the news today. I'm offended, I'm offended. Then I took a glance at the front page. I'm offended, I'm offended. I heard some guys joking at my workplace. I'm offended, I'm offended. It's getting hard to find myself a safe space. I'm offended, I'm offended. If we're not offended, it's unusual. Welcome to Offended, the musical. When you get offended, it's beautiful. Welcome to Offended, the musical. It's time to get offended, the musical.
The sun is rising. It's coming in our window. You're nuzzled in my chest, communicating with our lips closed. Your eyes are puffy. You haven't brushed your hair. I haven't brushed my teeth, but we don't even care. Morning sex,
and I feel it now. I'm gonna get inside, and you feel it too. A close relative just died.
Morning sex, when you've lost someone you love. Morning sex, you know they're watching from above. Morning sex, when you're so sad that you feel sick, fill that hole in your heart with my dick.
You just lost your grandpa, but it sounds like good news. You say you're really down. I say that I'm down too.
Sex, your family dog died in your arms.
Oh no.
As you scratched behind his ears.
Poor little pup.
So I'll give you 7 minutes if we're counting in dog years.
Morning
sex, when you've lost someone you love. Morning sex, you know they're watching from above. Morning sex, when you're so sad that you feel sick, fill that hole in your heart with my dick.
If you lose your entire village to the horrors of starvation, just cup your hands around your eyes and use those tears for lubrication.
Morning sex, when you've lost someone you love. Morning sex, you know they're watching from above. Morning sex, when you're so sad that you feel sick, fill that hole in your heart with my dick. Morning sex, when you lost someone you love. Morning sex, know they're watching from above. Morning sex, when you're so sad that you feel sick, fill that hole in your heart with my dick.
I love it when we make good work. That is so good.
As promised, morning sex.
Morning sex.
We dropped the bomb, we dropped the teaser, and we delivered with some morning sex.
Yes, putting the you in morning.
Right, exactly. Is there
and
something
putting me in you for the morning?
Something let's go, like that. Bro. You're on top of it.
I wonder if I am.
You are on top of it. Wait, is that like the British spelling of morning, or do they just
they
put yous in other stuff?
They do put yous in a lot
like
of
what?
Things.
I'm drawing a blank on things that the British put yous in.
Yeah, me too.
In Philadelphia, they put yous in a lot of sentences, but that's like yous, yous guys.
The British also put R, they end a lot of words with R-E instead of E-R, like center.
Theater.
The C-E-N-T-R-E. Yes, exactly. Theater would be another one.
Wait, do we spell theater like that, though?
We are T-H-E-A-T-E-R, and they're like theatra.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, Francis, my guy, what's good with you?
Oh, man, I'm so glad to be back and, you know, banging out this season finale.
Yeah, it is the first season finale of Offended.
Offended the Musical.
The Musical, that's
15
right.
15 episodes. It was really, really fun, man.
We gave the people some fucking gems.
We
30-plus songs, 40-some songs that we fucking given these people.
Who even knows anymore?
That's so many songs. That's like a fucking early, like a late 90s mixtape worth of songs.
That's like Nelly doing a two-sided CD.
Right, Sweat and Suit.
Yeah.
That's us, Sweat and Suit.
There have been a lot of rappers that have done those. I never understood it. It's like, why not just save the second half?
To sell more copies, bro. You just sold two CDs.
So you're saying you can charge more? I bet they charge more.
They charge more, but it's also counts as two records sold, I think.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know, but Eminem, in a lot of his early rap battles, if you go back and watch his shit, he always used to have this line like, where'd you get your whole style from? You couldn't sell two copies if you pressed a double album. So it's like he used that in multiple rap battles. So he wasn't freestyling. We know that about him.
Yeah.
But we also learned something from the fact that he was always repeating it and it tucked into our brain. So now we know why Nelly made Sweatsuit.
Right. And then Outkast did Speaker Box and The Love Below.
Mm.
But that was more of a way of like separating Big
Boy. Getting Big
Boy
some record sales.
Yeah, right.
That's all that we were doing there.
Because everybody knows that Andre 3000 was by far the more talented of the two.
But Big Boy's a great rapper.
He is.
But Andre 3000's a futuristic fucking, like, it's no shame to be less talented than Andre 3000 because that just puts you in the same class as the rest of the population.
Well, you know what's always amazing to me was, like, I loved Outkast growing up. And then there's that song by Eminem where he talks, he's like, I got a list. Here's the motherfucking list it's in. Goes Reggie, Jay-Z, Tupac, and Biggie.
True.
Somebody, and then
Nas
Andre
and then
3000,
me.
Nas, and then me.
Mm.
And he puts Andre 3000.
He says corrupt.
Corrupt.
Says one of the people, which is crazy that Corrupt is making that list of people who normally aren't included in lists like
so
that.
So this is then, them, Eminem is listing to him the greatest rappers alive, right?
At that time. I bet in his mind he surpassed a lot of those dudes.
Yeah.
If he's still putting himself behind Corrupt, that's very humble of Eminem.
That is.
Very humble of Eminem.
Reggie, Jay-Z, Tupac, and Biggie. I used to listen to that when I was trying to like hit personal records on the bench press. Because that song made me...
It goes Reggie, Jay-Z, Tupac, and Biggie. Andre from Outkast, Jada, Corrupt, Nas, and then me.
Jada Kiss?
Yes.
He's putting him up there?
I would put... I mean, more so than Corrupt. Corrupt?
So those are Eminem's greatest rappers of all time.
Whenever Till I Collapse came out. Whatever, I guess that like 2002 or yeah, whatever the fuck.
Mm.
He was talking shit. He was talking a little bit of shit.
Well, he's just done this whole Machine Gun Kelly... response diss.
Yes.
I think that was, to me, that was like tough because he didn't really want to.
Yeah, but you have to.
I guess you have to, right?
He's got a big battle rap movie coming out.
Who does?
Eminem.
Oh, shit.
That's the movie. I have like a very small part in it. I have like two lines in it.
Did he produce this one?
He produced it.
What's the name of the movie?
It's called Bodied. And I read for the role, but they didn't give it to me because I'm too ugly and bad of an actor. That was their reasoning.
They said ugly?
No, they didn't say ugly. Sorry, sir, you're just too ugly to be in Hollywood. Yeah.
We were looking for somebody who's not ugly.
And we see you right now.
Unfortunately, that's not you.
Now that you're right in front of us, it's painfully apparent how ugly you are.
We don't have the budget to staff enough makeup artists to sort you out
the
for
amount
hours.
Of CGI it would take to change your face for the entire movie, frame by frame.
The technology's just not there yet.
It's not there. In a couple,
come
in
back
40
in a,
years, you could be in movies because we'll just put someone else's face on you.
Yeah, we'll Benjamin Button it.
For now, just stick to voiceover work. I heard that that's very popular amongst you uggos.
You have a face made for construction.
Exactly.
Some job that nobody
in
would
that
care.
It looks like concrete. You look like you were carved out of a rock face.
You look like somebody who should be turning the stop sign to slow without changing your expression at
you
all.
You know what's fucked up? I think that they always get... I feel like women disproportionately get that job on construction sites.
They do.
Because construction sites are these fucking sexists on construction sites are forced to hire women because even though they don't want to, and they're like, oh, we'll give her the sign turning job when she should be the bitch on the fucking jackhammer.
Yep.
If anyone knows how to handle a jackhammer, it's a fucking woman.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And Lord knows we can't trust her behind the you know, the levers of a backhoe, because next thing you know, she'd be tearing down the house of an ex-boyfriend or something.
It's the jackhammer.
Right.
Give the ladies the jackhammer, please.
Let her stand on it and rub that thing against her clit and get fucking orgasms.
I heard that that's what porn workers often graduate to. Women who used to ride Sibians will then transition smoothly into jackhammer workers because they can handle the friction. They can handle the jostling.
Yes. Their vaginas have the necessary calluses
right.
needed to...
The shocks. It's like shocks like a fucking car. It's like...
Those things...
The shocks on this model are top notch. I'll tell you that much.
Beef jerky, worn out labia.
But it's been tested. It's like when they test gloves. They test mitts. They have like a fucking machine that just like pounds away at the mitt to make sure that the fucking... That the glove, the leather is high enough grade.
Oh, right.
And... I guess these women have the same thing, except for it's been manually done.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
phallically done.
You know, I wonder if women in porn, once they're...
Go on.
Like, yeah, once they're, like, kind of moved out of their prime and they want to retire and have a child, if they're just so pleased during labor at the ease of the process, given those...
Like, oh, that just slipped right out.
Yeah, right.
Are you done already?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to start to hurt sometime soon.
So much for an epidural, no C-section.
This baby
needed.
Just marched out.
Yeah.
Baby cartwheeled out. Is that a band that baby's following?
Thanks, Mandingo.
yeah. Now my baby can wheel out of me like a drum major. He can high step out of my vaginal cavity. Oh, man. I
can just picture the doctor just pulling the vagina apart and reaching in like it's an old, dusty bottle of wine at the back of a cellar.
Like, we have a good year here. He blows the dust off.
Bring out the 75 Margot.
It's a magnum bottle. Do you think it can fit? Yeah. Oh, it should be no problem.
No
problem. We can
fit
the Nebuchadnezzar-sized bottle.
I've got over 1,200 scenes. Trust me. This thing has lots of give.
There's plenty of room in there. Oh, I can fit both of my elbows inside here to reach for it. We're talking about a deep vag. We're talking about the cavern from Stranger Things.
That's right.
We're talking depth, my friend.
Oh, boy.
We're talking layered acting. Daniel Day-Lewis depth, my man.
I miss him.
I wish we knew more about what women in porn did after they were in porn. But it's like, I feel like they're all trying to distance themselves.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you would just talk about the porn shit that you used to do, you might as well just still be doing porn.
Right. That's true. I wonder what sort of employment opportunities there are for women in porn after porn.
I mean, it's got to be really tough. I think you have to completely put that part of your past behind you or, like, hide it.
Mm. And so many of them end up, like, retiring and then coming back.
Right,
to MILF porn.
Because where
else? There's nothing else they can do.
Right, exactly. Where are you going to go? You've been defined by this thing. It's hard to find a second act for these porn star actresses.
Right.
And it's a shame. It's not fair.
No.
I was trying to hunt down, for this college football show, I was trying to do a story on traditions of college campuses. And one I really wanted to do was a story on the traditions of Arizona State, how it's a tradition there that all the girls become porn stars.
Right.
Not all of them, but a disproportionate amount
of
them.
They all end up on that casting couch show.
Yes. And the one even, like, used her Arizona State ID. So I tried to contact that girl, and she was like, this saga has ruined my life. I refuse to speak about it. I lost my fucking dream job as a teacher because of this coming out somehow.
All right, well, let's talk for a second about this, okay? If your dream job is to be a teacher, stopping at the old porn rest stop on the highway to that teaching job, not exactly going to help you. Nice little blip on the old resume there. What the fuck are you talking about?
That is exactly what we were talking about with a dream deferred. What happens to a dream deferred and you go into porn, I'll tell you what, it shrivels up and dies and you can't be a teacher anymore after you were fucking.
I'm trying to think. I'm thinking, like, okay, if my dream was to be a comedian, what is the one, little side task that I could have taken that would have completely 86'd my dream of being a comic.
With a lot of it, you can kind of make a joke out of it. I think a pedophile would be the thing that gets it.
That's pretty universal, though. That makes it tough for so many different fields.
That's really true.
Being a pedophile is the most universal deterrent to employment.
Or leprosy.
Sure, you don't.
I think leprosy is more of a deterrent than pedophilia.
Leprosy is what your limbs start falling off.
I think you are just covered in like scabs. I think it's like advanced stage chickenpox. Well,
ironically, that's one that would hurt you from getting into porn.
Yeah.
And there aren't too many things
except for leper porn.
Is there leper porn?
Oh yeah, it's really good. But it's really raw.
Oh,
mostly
because
they've just peeled the scabs.
You know,
off.
I was thinking about this. You know, it's like I was thinking, I wrote some jokes in comedy for someone else.
Okay, now we're talking.
I don't know this person. I don't know the person, but I'm just saying someday I may meet this person. Do you mind if I tell you guys some of these jokes?
Sure.
This
will be good for if someone hears
right.
these jokes.
If anyone knows a comedian who is like looking for some jokes who fits these characteristics, let me know.
Oh, wait, you wrote them for someone else, but not someone else specific.
Correct.
Oh, these are just jokes. These are free agent jokes.
These are jokes for other people. I don't know these people yet, but once I meet them, I'm going to give them these jokes, and they're going to get famous because these jokes are so good.
How is it writing jokes for someone else?
It's tough.
Is it tough or is it? I thought it would be liberating.
It is like, a little liberating because I'm not constrained by my own reality, right?
Sensibility.
Okay, so this first one is for somebody who is HIV positive.
Okay.
Okay, and now you see why I can't say these jokes myself. You know, because I'm not HIV positive, right. And they're too offensive if you're someone who's not HIV positive.
But for the time being, yeah.
Right, but remember, these are written for somebody. Imagine that I have HIV.
Sure, sure.
As I tell these jokes.
I'm imagining that.
Okay. Hey, folks, how are you? So I'm HIV positive.
Woo!
Not as bad as you'd think. A lot of people think that means I can't have sex anymore because people are too afraid to have sex with me. Let me tell you something. That's wrong. There are millions of people who want to have sex with someone with HIV. And you know who they are?
Who?
People with HIV. Problem is, they're all the way over in Africa. And I'm not going to Africa because I'm afraid of needles and the shots ever since they gave me HIV.
Oh, that would kill.
I think it would kill
in the right positive
it
room.
It would kill in an aid station in Botswana.
Or at least in like a fucking aid support group or
right,
something.
Right, sure, sure.
In
They're
America.
Usually pretty chipper and upbeat.
Yes.
Yeah.
They need some jokes. Here's some jokes that you could tell amongst your AIDS buddies. Were you only writing jokes? Was this like you were only writing jokes for AIDS people?
That was the only one that I had written on this idea.
But you're on your way.
I know. I need a couple more. It's amazing. You can really make, when you're writing for other people, you can write really offensive stuff.
Yeah, because it's not.
Because it's not for you.
And you'll never be saying it. That's
right.
Never a joke you would say.
No, I wouldn't say it out loud.
Yeah, you wouldn't say that joke.
Not myself.
It's just a really funny joke.
No, right.
Yeah, you wouldn't say that joke.
I certainly wouldn't say it and mean it.
You're gifting it to the universe.
Right.
Here's a funny thought that's like, when it's like, who said this quote? Like, unknown. Like, now this is
unknown
filed under
HIV
unknown.
Riddled patient.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, when you Google the top, like, 15 HIV quotes, this was going to start coming up
with
them, but under unknown.
Like, if Magic Johnson ever decided to dabble in comedy, and Lord knows he has his hands full, what
sure.
with his businesses and his gay son, and
the Lakers,
HIV. It's AIDS? Is it AIDS that he has? Or HIV?
It was HIV, I think. HIV.
It's AIDS. It's the one that's less bad, I think.
No,
that's
no.
AIDS.
HIV is less bad.
HIV is less bad.
AIDS will kill you.
Oh, AIDS will kill you.
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, we're definitely not going to do any AIDS jokes, because that's offensive.
Okay, HIV.
But
so
remember, HIV, if we stay in that HIV. Realm and it's for somebody else, I'm not saying it, as you said. I never.
Right, no, that would be beyond the pale.
Right. Right. It'd be uncouth.
It would be uncouth, rather yeah, uncouth. And rather it would be uncouth. Embarrassing because we have we have parents and families and yeah. we've been raised right and we wouldn't make an HIV AIDS joke.
And not only that, but if you believe in karma, me making a joke like that would almost be like me asking to contract HIV.
It would almost be a guarantee of AIDS for you.
Right. And, you know, obviously, like, it doesn't scare me as much as it might scare, let's say, some poor person because I can afford the top medicines and I can keep it at bay, much like Magic Johnson.
Right, right.
But,
what
you
with
know.
His Dodgers movie theaters and his gay son.
Exactly. But it's like, do I really want to throw myself into the pool of people who can only have sex with other HIV patients? Not really.
Not right now.
You know, I don't want to be banging a bunch of fucking people with fucking HIV. It's disgusting and dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. we never would say that.
Either. We wouldn't.
This
we
is
wouldn't.
Also a behind closed doors type of situation.
Exactly. Exactly. Total hypothetical.
Exactly. And it's good that we got that on the table because you are offering humor to the people who don't necessarily
who
have those jokes.
Who need humor and lightheartedness.
Really big yeah. of you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
It was a rainy day today, Francis.
It was.
You said you like rain.
I like the rain.
Why?
Well, for one, as a redhead, it's safer for me.
That's true.
But then also,
you're not at risk of getting scalded.
No. It's just like, I'm like, what's going on out there today? Beautiful. Beautiful. Don't need to wear my hat.
Your parasol. You can leave the parasol at home. Just take your rain umbrella.
I don't need my hat or my parasol or my screen.
Does a woman who takes a parasol out, is she always with an umbrella?
No, but she's always Asian.
Yes, that's true.
They hate the sun.
What is it about Asians and the sun?
There's a belief in Asian culture, certainly in Chinese culture, that people who are tan are considered working class peasants because it means that they're out in the fields
really?
All
John's
day.
John's nodding his head.
Getting
is this
sun.
True?
Yeah, and that's why people in China avoid sun like it's the plague. That's one of the reasons they liked me so much, because being as white and as pale as possible is seen as a sign of like being of a superior class.
I've never been outside.
Right.
I've never picked a fruit.
Right. No. The sun, I wouldn't hear of it.
Imagine, like, Asians going to, like, a Mediterranean country and just, like, seeing, like, a bunch of, like, just dark-skinned, yeah, like,
Greek yeah. fishermen.
Right, and just, or, like, even just, like, Italian, like, rich Italian dudes and just thinking that they're, like, peasants. Like, these fat Italian dudes yeah. who are just loaded and fucking super dark-skinned. And these Asians just...
Look at Taki out there. His Armani sunglasses must be fake.
Yo, I watched Lost in Translation recently.
Great movie.
Yeah, I never had seen it before.
A little slow.
Before this weekend. Kind of a slow movie, but yeah. it is very good. But so they threw a lot of, they were talking in Asian accents and like throwing around Asian jokes and making L and R jokes and shit like that.
Yeah.
This is 2002, so it's a little bit older, but it's also, this is a movie that's like critically acclaimed as a great movie. Mm-hmm. So it's like, is that a cool joke to make or are they not on their shit and should they be getting called out for how fucking racist that movie is, or is it cool? I don't know.
Well, it's a great question. First of all, it's directed by Sofia Coppola, and I think that she's so protected by the fact that her father is Francis Ford Coppola. Secondly, you've cast Scarlett Johansson and you've cast Bill Murray being one of the most universally beloved figures in Hollywood. It's almost like you can do no wrong. And then the final piece I would say is that the entire thing is based about this actor who's going in, he's almost like a Donnie Does type character who goes into, was it Japan?
Yeah, it was Japan.
Japan, right? And he's filming commercials for whiskey and all the, they're showcasing the eccentricities of Japanese culture.
Right.
And it's like he's lost in the translation of these stereotypes.
Is that what the title meant?
I think, speaking of title meant, I've been feeling very entitlement lately. no.
That was good.
I don't know.
That's a hell of a turn of phrase.
Didn't really need it there, though.
But sometimes when you hear a turn of phrase, you can't, I feel that sometimes I can't let it go.
Right.
I'll completely disrupt the flow of anything I'm doing
Me
just
too.
To like sneak in some kind of turn of phrase.
I just did it. I just did it there. Thank you.
inspiration every single Friday and Wednesday.
But come in season two, we got more songs for you. We'll make songs across the nation, Francis and my way.
Venus flytraps, Roe v. Wade, uncrossed bulls, and the one who got away.
Girlfriends, Harding and Denzel. We taught you yokels how to yodel, and we did it so well.
The Ballad of Kawhi Leonard, Drew Barrymore in 50 First Dates, and Matt Damon too. I just lie, lie, lie. We sing for you.
Back for season two.
What a season it's been.
What a season it's been.
I feel like we're men.
Finally, we're men.
The season was like one long bar mitzvah. We never did any songs about those two word suggestions like we said that we would.
That's called a bait and switch, you bitches.
We just got more reviews from you all. Your sheep.
Your sheep.
Little sheep.
Ba ba, black and white and Arab
we
sheep.
We don't see the color of sheep. But we know that you're sheep still.
We recognize the shape of sheep.
Bah.
We made some bad jokes. That was one of them. Come back for season two. We'll make bad jokes again.
This is the end. Season one of Offended, the musical, brought to you by Francis and Roan.
And John Kelly.
And John Kelly, the producer.
You probably would be more mentally pleased if our rhyme schemes had a resolution. But that's not what we're doing today.
You'd also probably be more pleased if this podcast went into perpetuity, if we didn't take a break for the season to end, and we just kept going on and on again. Like this Pardon song. My Take,
or this song,
or KFC Radio, or every single podcast at Barstool,
or The Simpsons, or Cats on Broadway.
Are you tired of your vape always dying, or losing your extra pods? You need Kite, a new portable vape charger and pod case that's still compatible with Juul.
Whether you're getting ready for a tailgate that lasts all day, or you want a party all night, Kite will treat you right. That's right. Get yours today.
It's a delicious way to charge up your vape pod.
Kite products are not associated with nor sponsored by Juul Labs. So get yours today at kitecharger.com and get $5 off for a limited time.
What a deal. What a deal.
What a deal.
What a deal.
What a motherfucking deal.
What a deal.
What a deal.
What a deal.
Suck that vape juice down. Mainline that deal.
What a deal. Put that vape up in my veins. What a deal. I want that vape.
Don't even put it in a device. Just let me drink it with a straw.
Surgically implanted in me and Francis. It makes me frantic. It's so romantic. Ooh, what a deal.
What a deal.
What a deal. Can it be real? If you're still listening, kudos to you.
Turned on the news today. I'm offended. I'm offended. Then I took a glance at the front page. I'm offended. I'm offended. I heard some guys joking at my workplace. I'm offended. I'm offended. It's getting hard to find myself a safe space. I'm offended. I'm offended. If we're not offended, it's unusual. Welcome to Offended, the musical. When you get offended,